Welcome to the Rent Estate Podcast, a conversation on how you can achieve retirement security, financial freedom, and the new American dream through rental property investments. And here's your host, Kevin Ortner, CEO of Renter's Warehouse.
All right, welcome back to the Rent Estate Podcast. This is the first podcast of 2020. In this episode, Greg Rand, Renter's Warehouse Chief Strategy Officer, and myself are going to talk a little bit about what we see coming up in 2020, some exciting trends, I think some fun stories we've been hearing.
I got the first episode of the year?
Yeah,
episode
of the year, so that's pretty exciting. Awesome. So anyway, welcome back to the Rent Estate Podcast. I'm Kevin Ortner, your host. Thanks for being with us. And if you haven't heard the podcast before, we talk about using residential real estate, single-family rentals, to gain financial freedom and independence and really create that long-term wealth and financial future for you and your family. We try and bring on property management experts, investment experts, and people who are really truly doing this stuff in the field. So a little bit about me for those who haven't heard us before. I've been investing in real estate for, almost two decades. I bought my first rental property when I was a freshman in college. I still own it today. And I've been helping people execute on their investment strategy for over a decade now. So been in the business a long time, very, very passionate about this stuff. And that's what Renter's Warehouse exists to do, is really help people invest and execute on their real estate investment strategy with ease, from researching new markets, acquiring properties, leasing properties, managing properties, growing a portfolio over time. And hopefully we can get people excited about investing in real estate on the podcast, or also just help answer questions about best practices. So excited about today. Like I mentioned, it's the first podcast of 2020. We've got Greg Rand with us. And yes, you are the first guest.
As it should be.
That's right, as it should be for the Rent Estate Podcast 2020. So how you doing, man? How was the new year?
Good. New year's good. We're coming out. You know, I'm one of these guys that I buy into the New Year's resolution thing in a big way, because I know that I can get myself to, like, for example, work out maybe for 2-3 months,
right?
Because I get fired up about it, you know. So I'm 4 days in and I'm 3 days working out. So that's good.
I
like getting myself swept up into things that are potentially can give me extra momentum when I get weak in the knee. So off to a good start. Excited about the year. I'm very happy that a whole lot of people that were talking down the housing market over the last couple of years wised up when they made their 2020 predictions. They've been making 2020 predictions for a long time, saying it's going to be a bad year. And then when the moment was upon them where their credibility was going to be easy to remember 9 months and 10 months from now, they all came back around again and acknowledged that it's looking great for the housing market this year. So we, of course, have been consistently saying it's going to be great. So people say, well, you're overly optimistic. Well, now all the pessimists are getting optimistic.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? You've been watching these trends for a long time, but you and I have been talking about them for the last 18 months together, of just all the... It's comical, frankly, the news stories that are out
message.
There.
Yeah, I get a text message from Kevin. There's a picture of a building collapsing, and he says, did you know that because mortgage rates went up 1/8 that the housing market's going to collapse? And the image in this story was actually a building like that had been dynamited.
Right.
It's collapsing on top of itself.
Up, right? Yeah.
You're like, well, oh, no, we're in trouble. That's the kind of stuff I get from you.
Yeah, but that I followed up with the next day, right? The same article that says housing is in short demand and people can't find a home to buy because it's such a buyer's or seller's market. Literally the same week.
Yeah,
right.
From some of the same people.
Yeah.
So the big takeaway from all of that is that we're really happy to be here to try to explain to people the way that we view the housing market, the data that we look at, make the data free for everyone else to look at so you can build your own intuition. Because here's what you'll find. When you learn it for yourself, you'll realize that most of the folks that pose as experts don't actually know anything about basic housing market dynamics. They do have a bent towards predicting negative things. And so they'll scare a lot of people into making mistakes or staying out of the market when they shouldn't, or selling too soon, or not buying when they should. And so it's good. This is a good thing for you to know for yourself. It's like changing a tire.
That's right.
You should know how to change a tire, and you should know how to read a housing stat.
Yeah. Look, and I think as we look ahead to 2020 and all the things that we just talked about, of all the crazy news that's been out there and how none of it was really built on data. We spent a lot of time in 2019 exposing that data to people, right? So before we talk about 2020, we should probably talk about all the amazing things that happened in 2019. And a lot of amazing things happened in 2019. We officially came together. The Own America brand and the Renters Warehouse brand came together to create America's largest real estate investment firm. That was exciting in itself, but the amount of really cool things we've done for our clients over that time, I think is pretty impressive. Does anything stand out to you?
You know what? I guess the idea of you spend any time in real estate investing, you realize that it is a financial instrument and it's also a physical thing. And we were treating it as a financial instrument and we were very not engaged in the physical thing part. That was up to you. You wanted to buy properties on our platform. That's great. But right. Good luck with the management. You guys were all over, biggest in the country, all over the physical thing component, right? Yep. You have to protect the asset. You have to maintain the asset. You have to keep it cash flowing, keeping good tenants in there, all that gritty, really difficult stuff. And I knew that 1 + 1 = 3, but from the standpoint of the way it impacts the customer, 1 + 1 is looking like 5 right now. And I think it might make its way all the way to 10 in terms of how important it is to make this. This is a splendid asset class for people who want, you know, responsible adults who long-term want to take care of their families, take care of their kids, take care of their grandkids, live comfortably later on in life. This is the best way to do that. It's as foolproof of a plan as you can get, but it also was way harder than buying stocks.
Right.
So our, you know, how much easier, you asked me about the one thing that stuck out, how much easier we are actually able to make it now than we could a year ago separately for folks to be able to do this and then experience the, you know, we got people close to us that are buying their first properties right now. We see the joy in their eyes and the fear at the same time.
Right. It's the one face or emotion that I don't think comes from anything else other than buying your first rental property, being so excited about it, but also so fearful at the same time, right? We'll chat about that a little bit later. But yeah, I think, you know, what we did in 2019, the reason we came together was for the ultimate investor experience, the ultimate client experience. And while there's been struggles and challenges to make that come together, like bringing any two businesses together, I think we've really seen a lot of fun things coming from that. So what's Greg Rand's predictions for 2020 for real estate?
2020, I think is seeming to heat up, but I've been thinking, and I'm going to stick with this, that it's going to be a little cooler than 2019. And when I say cooler, one of the ways that you have to approach the idea of understanding the housing market is understanding the different things that are being measured, right? So I'm a big believer in understanding home prices as an indicator of the supply and demand equation. Home prices over the last 80 years have consistently gone up.
Yep.
I say all the time that this belief that what goes up comes down in real estate, it's like, no, recessions happen. Real estate recessions only happen one time. So I think it's been a little bit too hot last couple of years. I'd be happy to see us see a national average price appreciation where I think 2019 is going to finish close to 4% nationwide. I think it's going to be just a couple of shaves off of that.
Which is still higher than average, right?
And it's good. The reason why we got hurt 10, 12 years ago was that it got too hot too fast. Right. So economies flame out. The housing economy 10, 12 years ago flamed out. There's nothing that's happening right now that's anything resembling what happened 10, 12 years ago. But a little easing of the steepness of the price curve makes me comfortable because it just means that, as an example, the affordability. This is one of the new boogeyman in media about the housing market is affordability is low. Translation of that is the prices are going too high and people can't afford the houses. Well, what happens in a free market system is that if they can't afford the houses, they don't buy the houses.
Right.
All right? And so the price increases that create these steeper appreciation curves wind up leveling off a little bit because they have to because affordability got too low and people couldn't quite afford it. That's so healthy. It's crazy. It's amazing to watch it talked about as a negative. It's like, no, the market is speaking and the market's also going to listen. And so the short answer is a little bit, you know, let's call it 3.6% appreciation year over year in 2020.
Can't wait till we're here in 2021 so we can see what it actually was and how close you were on that. You showed me and I think some other people, it was in a group, but you showed us a really interesting chart a couple weeks ago that was just what you were talking about, which was what goes up must come down, except not really, because I think you had some of the chart was grayed out in sections that showed the last two decades of recessions.
Yeah, four decades actually it was on there.
Four decades of recessions versus home prices or home price appreciation or whatever the chart was, right? That was super interesting.
Yeah, I can describe that because it is interesting. Again, this what goes up must come down thing. I've been at a conference with you on a panel with the guy that we both know is supposed to know what he's talking about. And he parroted that what goes up must come down. And I couldn't believe it because right. So here's what the chart showed. It showed 50 years of home prices. So picture a gradually inclining line. And then in 2005, 6, 7, it went too steep. It peaked in 2008, came back down about the same amount, and then picked it up where it was going. So it's like this long, steady line with like a bump on it. And it just went back to where it was going and then kept this long right. trajectory. But this line also had, this chart has superimposed on it, the periods of recession when the economy shrunk. And every single time the economy shrunk, you either don't see any indicator of that at all on the home price chart. It kept chugging along, or it flattened out a little bit. And then when the recession was over, it came back again. So right. recessions happen. People lose confidence. They don't want to make any big decisions. They don't have the money to spend to buy a house. Fewer houses get bought. The home prices level off a bit. But the demand is still so strong that they don't ever come down except for that one time that they went up too high. You can see it on the chart that the anomaly is not the hard crash of the real estate market of 08 and 09 and 2010. The anomaly was what happened in the 3 or 4 years prior to that where it just ski jumped and then it came back down again. So I'm glad you liked that chart.
Yeah, it was a good chart. And I think it's just amazing the recency bias people have, right? Yeah. It's human nature. You're always thinking about the most recent event, but not necessarily the full history of what's happening. Because anyone, even people, to your point, who are in this industry, who understand this industry of single family rental property and real estate in general, they're talking about waiting to buy their next portfolio or their next property when the next recession happens and right. the real estate downturn comes and prices drop
20%. I'm waiting for the next big downturn. It's like, oh, okay, so here's what I know. No, okay? You're going to pay more for a house in 2020 than you would have paid for the same house in 2019. I was saying it all year long.
Yep.
Don't forget, like for 2 years, you go do a quick search about recession 2020, real estate recession 2020, you'll see every media outlet ran a story that some major entities predicted that exact thing,
correct.
Right? They're
correct.
Backing off that now.
Yep.
But you'll pay, at this point right now, I can say with a lot of confidence that you'll get a better deal in the spring of 2020 than you're going to get in 2021. There's nothing on the horizon to indicate a correction on prices. If anything, it'll be flat, but I think it'll wind up, maybe if the market softens, instead of 3.6% in 2020, it'll be 3.2, and then maybe 2.5. the year after. But until we see a 11-12% increase, we're not going to see decreases because we're still riding that trend line between 3-4%.
Right. It's just, it amazes me. And I tell people, again, my philosophy and our philosophy at Renters Warehouse is long-term real estate investing.
Right.
Not fix and flip. We're not wholesaling deals. We're not even doing deals, quote unquote, right?
Right.
Searching for the best deal on the block of a dilapidated house, fix it up and rent. Now, that's a strategy, but it's not a strategy for everybody. It's not a strategy for many. The strategy is buy a house today, rent it out, keep it for 30 years. You have a home that's paid off. Your house is appreciated, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So I get the question all the time, as I'm sure you do. And even regardless of look, real estate prices aren't going to come down next year. Let's just argue for a minute that they are. I don't actually really care because I'm going to buy my house today. I'm not selling it next year. So I don't really care what it's worth. I'm going to sell it in 30 years, maybe,
right.
or 15 years or 20 years, whatever the number is. I guarantee you. Yeah, I'll guarantee it. You know why? Because if it's not right, then the whole world's backwards and messed up.
Yeah,
right?
The zombies have come and they're not going to, no one's going to come back and play this podcast
right.
for you.
15 years from now, the house is going to be worth more than what you paid for it today.
Yeah.
Right. 20 years from now, worth more than what it was today. So I get, hey, are you buying right now? Heck yeah, I'm buying. You know, are you going to wait till the market softens? Look, I'm going to buy more then if it does, but right now I'm buying because I'm holding for 30 years. I'm buying, just bought another rental property 6 weeks ago, hoping to buy another one in a couple months. I'm buying.
Isn't it funny when like the reason why you're buying is because you're in your 30s and that's what you do in your 30s is buy. You worry about liquidating when you're in your 70s and 80s
right.
and you hand them down. The investment strategy that I'm starting to realize now, like the deals is sexy,
yeah.
right? It's sexy
it's
enough
fun,
to
right?
TV shows around yeah. it and seminars every weekend and a lot of books with a lot of guys with big teeth, you know, talking about how that you're going to make millions with none of your own money.
Right.
Like that happens. But now, like, patience is the new sexy, it's turning out. People are starting to talk about this idea that, no, if you have a foolproof plan, like if you have a plan that, okay, I have enough to be able to buy a house, and I can only buy a house right now. So I've got my primary residence. I'm going to buy this rental property. The rental property is going to make me $300 a month. Good. Stand still. Let that happen for a little while. Save the next down payment. Do the next one. And then you have kids. The kids, I mean, everybody that I know, I have a daughter going off to college, man. It happened like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Same
thing.
So do I.
Yeah,
so do I.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
So it happens overnight. And so a 15-year hold period, all of a sudden you turn around. You're like, wait, how much did I? If people can anchor their investment strategies, I've got two condos that I bought when my kids were less than a year old. One of them is getting liquidated. I'm actually not going to liquidate it because I still like it. I'll pay for the college elsewhere.
Right.
But the college has been in the can since she was 1 year old because I bought this condo. It appreciated. I paid the mortgage down. That was so powerful for me because I rode right through the housing crisis. That one time where the prices did plummet, I watched that happening. I didn't break a sweat because it didn't matter what the house was worth in 2008 at all. It matters in 2020. And by anchoring the plan to something, A, that I cared about, my kids' college, mm-hmm. retirement, mm-hmm. Legacy, mm-hmm. and something really far away, you just kind of just go on with your life and watch that little house. You know, I like picturing those images of the leaves changing and the snow falling and the snow melting and the sun coming out in the spring and summer, like this,
yeah, 30
this
times.
Rapid, yeah, exactly, 30 times.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because that 30-year segment or the patience doesn't make for an exciting TV show, right? I mean, maybe we should try it. We should start of me buying a rental. I'm going to make a bunch of money, but the show is probably just me working at my desk, doing my
thing. Let's talk about Dan for a second. So yeah. Dan, who's going to come on here.
Yeah, we'll have Dan on next episode.
Yeah, he's a consultant to our company. He is a financial genius, and he is very excited, always has been, about real estate. And he started working with us, and he decided he was going to buy his first one.
Right.
And what I told him, he's very funny because, today he was like, I spent 6 hours in Home Depot this weekend trying to pick my flooring. I said, dude, I picked my flooring in 25 minutes in Home Depot. What are you doing?
Right.
But I know him, and he knows me. Intuition versus he wanted to make sure that he measured and felt and tasted every single flooring possibility that there was for him.
Probably build a spreadsheet around it.
yeah. Right? So I told him, you got to take some film of this. So we're going to encourage him. We're going to test the theory that I do think starting your journey to become a real estate, starting your real estate empire, Dan's real estate empire is maybe with the show we can call this. He's going to take a lot of footage of himself. And I was telling him, picture the Martian. Remember the Martian? I'm here, day 36. I'm almost out of water, going to start drinking urine next week.
Yes.
I think I got this all figured out.
Yes.
I told him, do me a favor. Next time you're in the Home Depot, talk to the camera about this guy Phil doesn't know what he's talking about. I need to measure these floor samples again. I think if people got a chance to see what one human being actually went through, even the kid we talked about earlier, he's doing this too.
Yep.
Film it, show it, because it's entrepreneurship on display and it is fun. And when the look on his face when he bought his first place and when the tenant moves in and that thing goes into service and he gets his first check and he says, okay, now the engine is now running. Now I can think about going on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could make a good show, especially if the character of Dan is central to it.
He's already shopping for a second one.
Is he?
He's on it. He's excited. And this is what I love about what we do. A lot of it is the daily monotony and the grind of growing a business and trying to help people invest in real estate. But the fun of it and the satisfaction comes from when I have a conversation with someone like Dan who comes into the business and it says, what do you guys do? Talk to me what you do. And by 45 minutes later, they're like, holy crap.
I want in.
I need to go buy some real estate. That happens all the time, right? You start talking to people about it, what the benefits are about it, the whole thing. They light up and they get it. To see that light bulb go off is amazing. And to see Dan go and execute on that 6, 7, 8 weeks later is pretty exciting too. So that's been that's been a lot
Dan's
of fun.
Dan's Real Estate Empire. I'm going to jot that down. That's the
DansRealEstateEmpire.com. I'm going to buy that here right now. And maybe I'll try to have him on the podcast next episode. And then we'll get all his social media handles out there and everybody can start encouraging him to video himself.
He's a very handsome man too. So he's going to definitely need to be on the video part of podcast.
That's right. Video part of the podcast. So look, we just spent a whole bunch of time talking about buying a house and never selling it. But one of the really cool new product innovations at Renter's Warehouse that you really headed up over the last 6 months, and we're going to be launching it in a big way here coming up pretty soon, is our Listing Express.
Right.
Talk about Listing Express, what makes it awesome, what makes it different.
All right, cool. So people probably have never thought about this before, but consider the fact that when you own a home, you have a certain degree of housing stability in your life because you own the place. As long as you can make the payment, you're going to be able to stay there. Tenants don't always have that same housing consistency because the owner could decide they want to sell the house. Now, if you said you wanted to sell a house, I could do this right now on a speakerphone. If we called 10 real estate companies and said, hi, I have a house I want to sell. They say, oh, goody. I'm your gal. I'm your guy. And then you say, yeah, the tenants are living there. Their lease will be up in April. They go, okay, why don't you give me a call back in April? They don't know how to sell a house when a tenant is living there. They need the house to be vacant. They need to put a sign in the front yard. They need to have an open house on Sunday. They need to show the house till it's sold. And the tenants are actually getting pushed out of a house that they probably liked, probably paid their rent on time. And that happens to tens of thousands of people every year. So this is a challenge that we wanted to solve because a rented house is a good thing.
Right.
If I'm an investor and I own a house that's rented, the tenant is my customer. The house is my business. We're managing the business for you, but the tenant's paying the rent. That's how you're making your income. And if you want to sell it, the person who wants to buy it will probably be really happy to buy it where there's already a tenant living there. And the rent can get paid by that person. They could stay. Everybody wins, right? The seller wins because they get to sell the house and generate income right up until they sell it. The buyer wins because they can generate income right from when they buy it, and the tenant is undisturbed. That's the essence of Listing Express, is that we have, there are, what is it, 17 million single-family homes in America that are occupied by a tenant and owned by an investor.
Right.
Those are a good thing. There are occupied rentals is an investment vehicle that's already packaged up and ready to go. And we have customers of ours that are that we manage their property. They've been happy with the experience, but they want to sell now. And we're telling them that, okay, great. So let's go ahead and put it on the market and sell it. And we're putting houses on the market that are performing rental properties with happy tenants in place, that a buyer can step into the shoes of the seller. They change the money. They change the keys. And now somebody new picks up the baton going forward on that investment property. So the response has been great because of how many of these owners thought the only way. I mean, we literally have owners who say, you know, I want to sell the house, but the tenants, the McGillicuddies, they're so nice. They've been there for 4 years. I really feel bad. Right. It's like, don't worry about the McGillicuddies. Their lease can stand. We'll move it on to some other owner. And that program just, it gives rise to showing the world that you can buy an investment property that's already ready to go. And it puts us in a situation like, I want you to imagine this. Imagine anybody listening. Imagine somebody has an apartment building or an office building.
I was just going to mention the same thing. Yeah.
You want to take it?
No, go ahead. I was going to make you talk about it because it's just baffling that any other real estate investment class, apartment, office, retail,
right,
whatever it is, no one would ever think about saying, well, I need to sell this, so I'm going to have my tenant move
out. They get left out of the room. Hey, I've got this great office building. Okay, I've got tenants. It's a 5-story office building. I've got a bank, couple of law firms. Great. I love it. Kick them all out when their leases are up. I want this thing empty.
Right.
No one ever said such an absurd thing in their lives.
Right.
I got this great shopping center. It's got a bagel store, vape store. It's got an anchor at the end. It's a little mini market. It's going to be great. Great. Kick everybody out. They would never do that. But yet in real estate, and the reason for that is very simple. The industry that sells homes for you to live in.
Right.
So the realtors of the world, I love them, been around them my whole life, but they are in the home ownership business. They don't understand the investment business. They don't really care about it. It is 20 to 25% of all the sales that happen in the industry every year. One in four home sales every year is a house being bought by an investor. It's a huge,
Where's that stat from?
That's the National Association of Realtors.
So the industry that represents realtors said telling us that one of four are investment sales.
And the real estate industry, and then their slogan is home ownership matters.
Right.
So they're saying 75% of the housing market is owner occupied. That's what they care about. And so all these years have gone by and nobody's actually figured out a way to give tenants the benefit of housing stability and give buyers and sellers the benefit of trading an investment property rather than vacating it first. You know how many houses get vacated, fixed up? So now I'm the owner. Okay, so now I'm losing money. I used to make money. I'm losing money now.
Right.
Now I'm painting and I'm replacing carpet and I'm fixing, so I'm spending money. Then I'm going to pay a broker to sell my house. The person who buys it then takes it and then goes and rents it out to somebody else.
Right.
So all that happened was 4 months of downtime, no income.
And a bunch of lost money and a displaced family.
Right, that's the part that stinks the most.
Right. Yeah, I think that's going to be the cool challenge of the decade. right, or the cool innovation of the decade is what we're talking about becoming mainstream.
Yeah.
Through technology, through education, through people just getting comfortable with it, the fact that we can truly have, as real estate investors, we can have impact on people's lives. Not just helping people create wealth and long-term financial freedom through real estate, but these tenants and these residents in these homes are people that just are too far off and I think forgotten about in all these transactions that happening, right? And okay, well, I gotta kick the tenants out and sell it. It's like a second, not even a second thought to people to do that. But a lot of our residents are young families. Yeah. They got kids, they're going to school.
Imagine getting that letter.
Right.
Hey, Happy New Year. You have to move by the end of February.
Right.
I hope your kid doesn't like her classroom.
Right.
Because they may not be any other houses available to rent in the school district right now. So you can get an apartment. I hope that you don't mind sending Fido to the pound because they don't allow dogs. I mean, these scenarios are taking place. So I feel good about the fact that we're building a business. We're helping people on an economic front build their financial future, important work to help them.
Yeah.
But on then you have the everyday people who, like the tenants on these houses, like this, most of this organization is here. Like I'm in the building here. They walk down the hall. These are people who are talking to tenants all day.
Yep.
You know, the dishwasher's not working, right? So for folks listening, when you're in the property management business, you're in competition with home ownership. The way that we think about it is like, we want to make this so good that you like want to buy a home because that's just wired into your DNA, but you don't want to just yet, because you're really enjoying calling somebody and saying, dishwasher's broken, and then it gets fixed, and you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And you really enjoy the fact that you were able to get into this house with a security deposit rather than a down payment.
Mm-hmm.
So the sort of the overarching mission of what we do every day for the tenants is making them want to stay just a few more years.
Right.
And then move on with their home ownership plans. And now we're actually starting to help them do that too. The tenants that are leaving, we're starting to ask them, hey, if you want to shop for houses, we're up for that too, if you want to.
Yeah, I think it's, there's plenty of times at my house that I'm like, man, I wish I rented. Dishwasher broke, fridge broke.
Dude, my sister-in-law over Thanksgiving, she was like, so what are you doing again? Like, she didn't really know. So I explained, she goes, wait, so you guys charge like $129 a month? And I can call one number to have everything fixed. I was like, that's what we do. She goes, sign me up. I'm like, well, it's not for people that live in the house. She goes, why not? That's not fair. I want this deal.
Right.
So like, I came back and told you about that. It's like, wow, there could be I hadn't even thought of that all the homeowners out there could have a concierge service fixing their house for them.
That's a home warranty concierge service. I guess we'll get to work on that right away. Let's not release this podcast till we have that set up, but that's a good idea. So look, we're probably going to wrap up here pretty soon, but I'm putting you on the spot. We didn't talk about this before, but I know you think well on your feet and you're on the spot and you believe in this stuff, so you've already got it figured out. But what are the top three things, list of three, that someone looking to invest in real estate for the first time in 2020, what do they need to do first? Like they're listening to the show. They're like, all right, I've been listening for a while. I get it. You guys keep talking about how wonderful this is. 2020 is my year. It's a new year, new decade. I'm jazzed. You convinced me I don't have to worry about pricing. What are the three things I got to do this year?
Okay. Well, first thing is that until you have a 30% down payment, don't take the plunge. Okay. So for people that we hear from all the time who are in that position, like I want to get started, you want to view putting 10 bucks in a coffee can. Like, don't go to Starbucks, buy the $4 a pound coffee, make it at home, use the can to put your 10 bucks in, start saving for your down payment and carving it away, and realize that you've begun, because in addition to saving, you're also researching. So renterswarehouse.com is a great resource. There are others out there, but start looking. So point number one is that you can begin right now without buying the house. You begin when you start doing research and you start saving and planning. Number two is it's all about location. Okay, where you buy a house is more important, in my opinion, than what you buy. What you buy is also important, but where you buy it is more important. It's the classic all boats rise with the tide, right? So you want to pick the right harbor. That's all about people watching. That's all about it's population trends when I say people watching. Where are people moving? Why are they moving there? Like, great example is Minneapolis, company headquarters, the flagship. All the big Wall Street clients that we've dealt with over the years, all but one of them avoided Minneapolis. They didn't avoid it. They picked other places,
right? Yeah.
they missed one of the gems of the country. I think the reason why most of them didn't is they're afraid of freezing pipes, period, end of story, right? They didn't know how to deal with the cold.
People also think it's cold year-round here, by the way, which is not true.
No one puts any
and
pictures
people out. Also don't know that we're home to like 20 Fortune 500 companies, right?
Right.
Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank, Medtronic. I could go on and on and on. Right?
That's the kind of stuff that if you pay attention to where companies are going, why they're going there, are more companies going to follow suit? The talent is then moving there. What are the drivers of population growth that are causing people to stay in a place first and then move to a place? Are those things going to continue? And there's data and analytics that we provide for free and others provide for free and at a cost that can give you a sense of what is happening.
Right.
The question then becomes why. And so that's usually about it's beautiful. For Minnesota, here's what I've gotten in the last year of hanging out here a lot. Yeah. The people are super nice, and it's really nice for like 5 months a year.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe
it's like,
maybe
it's like
three.
Seven.
Is that okay?
Come on now.
So where you buy. So start researching the places. Start looking at. And then the third thing I would say would be, again, it goes back to the places. Start researching within a place like Minneapolis, if that's where you want to be. What neighborhoods, what sections of town that on this side of the road, it's got one thing going on that side of the road, it's a little bit cheaper, but they're starting to renovate those houses. Dial in your research, show up at planning board meetings, find out if a town is pro-investor. Like I know, for example, there's a transit plan where they're going to be adding train stations. Some of your towns don't like it.
Right.
Some of them do like it. The ones who get a train station, values are going to pop in that town. So it kind of goes to research and then even more research.
What are the macro trends you're watching right now? You're invested in real estate. So what are the macro trends that you're, there's a lot of them, but what are you paying attention to? Obviously you touched on a few of them, right? Your location, businesses, where are people moving, that kind of stuff. But what are the, maybe the others or a specific detail of a business you're watching move around?
Yeah. I know what you're going for. Yeah. Stuff, right? The whole Amazon thing. So the trend of Amazon is not just a company, but it's redrawing transit and shipping and logistics globally. Okay.
Right.
And so just that alone, number one is that Amazon is putting these mega distribution centers. Okay. They put one in Charlotte near where I live. I'm buying houses within a few miles away from it for reasons related to other things also, but also the fact that 2,500 jobs make an average of 55,000 a year are going to be going right to that spot.
Right.
And it's an amazing thing because it looks like a mall. My son said it looks like a mall. It's like, well, it kind of is a mall, except you can't go inside.
Right.
So
there's
no food court. So there probably is a food court for the employees. Point is, it's this mega building, 2,500 jobs, and it's permanent. And so when you buy near something like that, you get automatic upward pressure on demand, which is going to have a good effect on your value and a good effect on your rent and how easy it is to keep the place occupied and keep elevating the rents over time. So that's one real obvious one. Find out, read where Amazon's opening distribution center. They're doing them in every city in the country and get near there. But also another one of the mega trends is because of this concept of people ordering things and having it be brought all the way to their homes, you're seeing shipping like the Panama Canal expanded 100 years after it opened. A couple of years ago, it opened the expansion. The biggest ships coming from China can now get all the way over to the East Coast by ship rather than putting them onto trucks and trains on the West Coast. So now what does that mean? That means that the ports in the Gulf Coast and up the East Coast of the U.S. all have a chance to explode in terms of their business. So again, job growth related to a mega trend. And you do a little bit of research, you do some reading, and you find out that Jacksonville, as an example, has done the best job of all those ports at getting their government and their private sector aligned to raise the money needed to dig the port deeper, to expand the port. And as a result of that, they're projecting hundreds of thousands of new jobs coming in, and that, again, is going to have upward pressure.
Right.
And that's a logistics thing also. So like, you know, there's two mega trends attached to the same concept that both of them do nothing more complicated than Charlotte and Jacksonville, both good cities. They're in good states. The harbor's rising. But this little corner is rising a little bit more because of those facts,
right?
Those mega trends and the way they affect them. And so that just gives you the edge.
Makes sense. So last question. Should people be buying or looking for their next investment property in their backyard or in a different city altogether, like different state, the whole thing?
The backyard thing is a place to start. All right. So if you're listening to this and you're in San Francisco or New York or Greenwich, Connecticut, this is not going to fly. This is not going to work. You're going to have to go someplace else.
Right.
So backyard is good because you're familiar with it. If something good is happening or bad is happening, you find out about it because your kids live there. And so like you're doing automatic surveillance of your investment because you live there and you're raising your family there. You may operate a business there. So that's good. Going an hour away, that's where I'm doing right now. I'm accumulating, but it's an hour away near that Amazon thing. But the ability to actually drive by, there's nothing, you know, when a storm comes through, we had some heavy winds. I drive down, make sure there's no branches hanging on top of my house, right? Just gives me peace of mind. But if you can't, the next thing is if you're from Greenwich, Connecticut, where the average house is priced at $2 million and you're not going to get a single family rental to make any money, where do you go on vacation? Oh, you go to the west coast of Florida. Okay, so let's talk about that. Lee County, Florida. You've anchored. Oh, my parents retired there. Now let's talk about that. Hey, I went to college in West Virginia. Let's talk about that. So you got your primary place that you live now. You have other secondary places in your life, like maybe where you were born, maybe where you went to school, maybe where you worked for 5 years or 10 years, maybe where your family goes on vacation, maybe where your parents retired. That becomes your second round of possible cities that you're also going to be surveilling.
Right.
Hurricanes coming to Florida, you know why? Because mom lives there.
Right. So gonna tell you.
You're not going to get surprised.
Yep.
And I think that's powerful. So you can kind of like look at what other places are around that you, or you might say, I want to visit Charleston, South Carolina every year because I love it. Good. So bring Charleston into your life by investing in Charleston. And now you have a business operating there. Gives you a chance to, you know, link up with that geography.
Yeah. So Greg's tip is start in your backyard. A lot of people, the advice, so to speak, across the industry, that varies, but there's a lot of people saying, look, there's all this great technology. We have some of that technology. Allows you to really easily invest across state lines and other markets. And I think there's a lot of advantages with that, but I'm a big believer too in the backyard philosophy. So the Greg tip is it's possible to start there. And I think you talked a lot about research earlier. Right? Research in the market, research in the area, research in the schools, research the business, the population growth, the trends. Super easy to research that if you live in the market, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You can go to, like, listen, you can read about school scores, but then you can also go to the meeting where they're voting as to whether or not they're going to allow the school to sell bonds to raise money for the new wing.
Right.
Right. That's just original research that only the folks in the room and the folks that read that. Here's a fun tip, by the way. Whatever geography you're looking for, you can set your Google alerts, right? Mm-hmm. You program an alert in Google that it will search every day or every week for this phrase. If I'm thinking about Minnetonka real estate, I say City of Minnetonka or Village of Minnetonka approves.
Right.
That phrase right there will send you an email anytime they approve anything.
Right.
Somebody's going to expand their restaurant. They're going to add a wing to the hospital. They're going to allow the subdivision to be approved. I have like 40 of these set up.
Right.
So I just get emails all day long saying, huh, look at that. They're opening up a train station. Hey, look at that. Another restaurant went into that little town. It's more attractive than it used to be, you know?
And then you're driving the town, right? Yeah. Checking it out.
Yep.
That's awesome. All right, Greg, that was fun. I'm excited for 2020. We're going to do big things. Same. Next time you're in town, let's get you back on the podcast. Greg lives in Charlotte, so he doesn't have to deal with the winters we have here in Minneapolis. Your boat's still in the water, although I think on the lift and winterized.
Yeah, it's winterized.
It gets 40 down there for you guys.
I went from 69 degrees to 1 degree yesterday when I flew up here, so I'm 68 degrees swung to the negative.
I'll come to you next time, but this was great. It's exciting. For anyone listening or watching, thank you so much. And check us out. If we can help you with your real estate investing needs, check out renterswarehouse.com. Give us a call. Call your local office. We'll get you in touch with a real estate investment advisor who can help you research homes to buy. If you already have a home, give us a call. We'll help you rent or manage that property, take it off your hands for you. Otherwise, if you're just getting into this, you just want to learn more and research, check out our research center at renterswarehouse.com in the investor marketplace. All the information and data we talked about that we watch and follow are right there. On the website for you to look at for free. And then please support the podcast if you like this. Like it, share it with your friends, comment on it, give it the thumbs up, all the things you do with podcasts on whatever podcast platform you're watching or listening to. We really appreciate the support. And until next time, happy investing.
You've been listening to the Rent Estate Podcast with your host, Kevin Ortner. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to rentestate.com for a free rental property analysis and learn how you can list, invest, and rent all under one roof.